Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm sick of my theme music. Can you tell? Welcome to Desperate House Witches. I'm Raina Starr, so you don't have to be. Desperate House Witches is not a G, PG, or even an R-rated show. So, bad language, bodily function, dirty talk of any kind might upset you. This is not the show for you, but fuck it. That's why you're here, goddammit. That's what I believe. Anyway, Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the amazing Dorothy Morrison. Please check out dorothymorrison.com for all things Dorothy Morrison. And if you are in need of Wicked Witch Mojo products, please check with your local retailer. We sure appreciate you. And that's, once again, dorothymorrison.com, one of my favorite pagan authors. However, one of my new favorite pagan authors is with me today. I'm so excited. So I have with me the honor of the company of Diana Helmuth, and we're going to talk about her book, The Witching Year, a memoir of earnest fumbling through modern witchcraft. Girl, you brave. Hi, Diana.
Hi, I'm super happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on my little show. So I got to work backwards a little bit with you because I think one of the things everyone who has read the book is the most curious or about to read the book is most curious about is, well, what do you think now about the process, being a witch? How do you feel about it? Has your perception changed? Talk to me about your end result and then we'll work backwards.
Yeah, there's a lot of different answers to that question. Here's a few key points. And people might call me a coward for this, and honestly, I will accept that designation, but I am still hesitant to publicly call myself a witch when I'm in a space where I don't know the people, because that word means still just so many different things. I mean, I could say that to some people and they would literally think I drink baby blood, right? Whereas other people think I'm just sort of juggling crystals and maybe I'm not vaccinated or something. So I do, you know, I don't always call myself a witch. I do pretty much identify as a pagan, like a neo-pagan or a contemporary pagan, pretty openly.
Cool.
Witch is a much more complicated word. So I'm hesitant to use it. And also, when I was writing the book, it was like I had to be a witch because I turned it into my job, which was its own little monkey paw desire. And there were many times where I thought, I can't believe I did this. I want to get off the ride. Why did I agree? Not only did I agree to this, why did I beg them to let me do this? Nobody made me do this. I asked. The fool, what has she done?
I noticed it.
Yeah, when I don't have as much accountability, I'll confess I've gotten a little bit lazier. However, I still try to follow the wheel of the year. I still try to do something for every Sabbath. I still try to notice the full moon. And, you know, Lauren, who's one of my mentors in the book, at one point she says, craft is the path, witch is the job. And I have another friend in the book named Blanca who also says, I think being a witch isn't so much a state of being. I think it is a role. And are you a witch if you're not casting spells? Are you a witch if you're not helping people with their problems? I think that's debatable. I don't practice magic every day. I just kind of observe the natural world through the eyes of, you know, a pagan. And I don't know if that makes me a witch. With that said, you know, if I had some huge problem, I'd be right there in my bedroom with my altar, lighting a bunch of candles, looking up which goddess to talk to,
right,
and like, what are some of the guesses?
Of course, yeah, but you know what? I got to be honest with you. And I've been a witch. Technically, I cast my first spell when I was 12 years old. So we're talking about on the order of 51 years actually practicing in some form or another.
Good for you.
And I identify as Gardnerian Wiccan, although my mentor always said we were gardenias because we really didn't follow the letter of the law, as it were. So
I love that.
And I've been taking, I've been doing it a long fucking time. Do I cast spells? Yeah. In front of my altar for the Espots and the Sabbath? Yeah. Do I pray to deities, multiple ones? Yeah. Am I an animist? Yeah. But I would be fucking lying to you, as many witches would be, if everybody said, I practice every single day. I'm not saying those people don't exist. I'm just saying, in my circle of witches, we got a lot of bitches not doing that. So,
there's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. I mean, there's 8 holidays. Like, one finishes, and you got to start prepping for the other one. I have a job. Like, we're not, you know, I'm not a full-time acolyte. This is, it's actually a pretty demanding schedule if you really gave yourself over to the whole thing.
No shit.
There's a lot.
No shit. Yeah. I mean, it's true. It's true. You know, my company, and I have a great day job, and I love the folks, and the folks are super good to me. And the folks have just started this whole DEI thing of diversity, inclusion, equity, and inclusion. And only now, and I've been with this outfit almost 19 full years, only now are they coming around to, well, we need to talk about diversity and we need to talk about inclusion. And I'm like, when you get to witchcraft, call me. Because we're inclusive of all the things except that so far. However, very shocked in December when they presented me with a calendar that mentioned Yule. And I said, all right, we're growing up. And I live in the fucking South, and I'm from New York. So, you know, I'm already judging shit left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, there is no agreement about what is the path. I mean, I'm very lucky. I've got some pretty cool friends like Jason Mankey, Thorne Mooney, lots of folks that I can just kind of like tap their brain and say, hey, I got questions. And I'm older than most of these people by double. And I still have questions and I'm still fucking up. And if I had the answers, then I would be the king shit, but I'm not. I don't know a whole lot of shit. I don't think a lot of witches do know a lot of shit. I think the reason a lot of folks get into witchcraft in and of itself, I mean, it's a long story, and let me make it super short. My mother started off as pagan. My family was pagan. My mother decided that when my father said, let's become born-again Christians, that was a good fucking idea. No. so she went that way until the very end, which was recently, as you and I were talking about earlier, and which can give you a little bit of a twisted sense of self when you don't know what the fuck you are anymore. But I think part of the reason a lot of people get into witchcraft in the first place is because of the lack of power you feel in your daily life. I mean, I came from a very abusive background, and, you know, there was no empowerment for me other than being able to put energy and casting certain things and trying to make certain, I mean, and I've done some really fucked up shit. I will just be honest with you. I've done some spells that would make you go, bitch, and you're still alive. Are you kidding me? But yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, you do shit to protect yourself, especially when you're young and you don't know any better and you don't know that there's a real cause and effect of shit. I mean, I'm talking about 11, 12, 13, you're still figuring out what you are as a person, much less, you know, or much more what you believe in. You know, there were days in my house where my biggest belief was trying to get to the next fucking day. So for me, it was an exploration of, you know, self-empowerment and not letting the fuckers kill me. But not to make it sound dramatic, folks have been through a whole lot worse shit than I ever was, so... But you know,
I think witches are pretty dramatic as a group.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but you know what? I find that people don't take you so seriously when you're so over the top and so effusive, and they tend to look at the fluffy bunniness of it, and, you know, the melodrama doesn't speak well to the reality when you're just trying to get your point across. I think, you're a great writer. You understand what I'm saying.
Thank you. I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was something. Part of this book's problem is that, of course, witchcraft is completely decentralized. I mean, you have Wicca, but most witches today don't even identify as Wiccan. In fact, the younger generations think Wicca is a bit dowdy and outdated, which is something I poked fun at the book, because I'm like, half of what you're doing, whether you like it or not, pretty much came from Gerald Gardner. I'm not saying it belongs to him, but I am saying he presented it, and you don't have to like it, but can you just stop pretending that that's not what's happening? Like, come on. What's happening?
I take so much shit for admitting that I'm Wiccan. You have no fucking idea. It's hilarious. I'm like, you know what? My privileged ass grew up white and Wiccan. I can't change it. I can't undo it. I am what I am. I'm very lucky because I had a mentor. A lot of people are like, listen, I don't know if I would have survived having the internet as a mentor as many people currently do. I just happened to be lucky enough to find people that were nice enough to say, yeah, you're a fuck up, come back in a year, and just kept sending me off. Because, when a 16-year-old comes and bops up to you and says, I want to be a witch, I want to be a good witch, I want to be a practicing witch, I want to cast spells. And your mentor turns to you and says, you're not a serious person. Go home. And it took years 12 years for me, of the devotion and the working and the practicing and the proving. And you know what I'm saying? So I'm really lucky, because I was kind of poo-pooed and teased relentlessly, but with good intention. So, yeah, because it's not a game. It's something that my mentor took very seriously, even though he called us gardenias because we didn't believe in certain things. But any religion, any practice of any kind that doesn't change and grow probably should die. Look at ancient Hebrew. Look at ancient Catholicism. Look at the things that we were willing to put people to death for back then. unbelievable, it's just crazy. So, yeah, and I get shit from older fucking Gardnerians being like, oh, you're a reformer. Okay, fine. You can put whatever fucking label you need to on whatever the fuck it is you think I am and what I do, because, again, like you say in the book, nobody fucking agrees.
And that was half the problem, was just figuring out. I realized the whole book could just be me trying to clear my throat until I got started. And then I had someone, again, Lauren in the book, she comes up to me at some point in the second month, and she's like, you have to let this go. You are never going to make all the invisible teachers happy. There are too many threads. There are too many ways to do this. None of them are necessarily correct or incorrect. There is no Bible. There is no Pope. There is no canon.
Right.
Unless you want to stick to Wicca, but the whole point of the book was to really explore modern witchcraft as a spiritual trend. Like, why is this rising?
Right.
Why are more people being drawn to this? And if I stayed with Wicca, we wouldn't be able to follow that at all. And also, I didn't, there's a lot of stuff in Gardnerian Wicca that's closed. And I wasn't here to write an expose. I was here to try and write a really honest memoir about trying to connect with this stuff. So we leave Wicca very early in the book, and then I just sort of throw myself into the modern witchcraft stream. And it is a shit show. And trying to condense all that information, we cut 60,000 words out of this book, I think, to get it into a narrative. My editor is a saint.
Oh, my.
And I think it's cohesive. I guess that's up to the reader. I think it's cohesive, but There's a lot of stuff, and people ask me, why didn't you touch on this? Why didn't you touch on that? And I was like, because I had 100,000 words. We didn't. This could have been a series. This could have been a book I'm writing for the rest of my life. But we had to pick and choose a little bit to the juicy bits, to the dramatic bits, and the honest stuff. Like when things don't work, or when I feel like I don't want to do this anymore, or I don't. I'm not really sure any of this is working at all, or I'm worried I'm pissing people off. It's not just like, and then I walked into the moonlight and saw the goddess. No, that's not what because I don't think that's what happens to most witches. I think that's what non-witches think happens, but I don't think that reality is true for any witch I knew, which is the reality we wanted to actually expose in the book, was like, it's not linear, it's not smooth. Witches are not the confident, fully actualized people that you think they are.
No
they're,
shit.
They're just trying to figure it out. Yeah.
Seriously, the level of refreshing honesty that's in this book, I was like, God damn, go on, girl. I was loving reading this book. Because I'm like, because here's the thing. If you're going to be honest with yourself, and I'm talking about everybody I've ever known in witchcraft, period. We have all fallen short of what we think we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be worshiping. And the folks, the older folks that think they've got all their shit together, I'm kind of like, you know, I would love to see you have to come up in an age where everyone sees every one of your fucking mistakes. I would be blowing it left and right. I would be hung in the town square and flogged, okay, for some of the shitty, stupid ass, because I'm very honest about the fact that I am a fuck-up, and I know I'm a fuck-up, and that's why I even have this fucking show, so I can maybe learn something and not be such a fuck-up, because I don't know anyone who's got it exactly right. I know learned people. I know people who study facts. I know people who have studied history and written beautiful books and beautiful starter books. And I'm so grateful for that because back in the day, because I'm 62 years old, so back in the day, one of the biggest things that was hurting us as witches was the fact that we couldn't even say we were witches. And we all just wanted to be accepted and get along. And I'm like, in retrospect, it's so funny because you set yourself up to fail. Now, I don't know if this is a girl of my age kind of situation or what it is, but I will tell you that we wanted to be different enough that people would respect us, but we wanted to be the same enough that people would want us around. And when you get into spirituality, that is a fucking tightrope over a sea of alligators that you just don't know is about to happen. And, you know, having been one of the people that wanted everybody to say, let's get along, let's respect each other's differences, let's do all of that, and I have fallen way short of that because if you ask me my politics, I am a complete liberal, and I cannot abide a Trump supporter, but okay, that's a different story. But the fact is that I did have this hippy-dippy idea that, you know, we could all get along and, you know, I'm not a horrible person because I don't believe the same thing you believe. Or maybe starting to get to that. I don't know. But, you know, you kind of set yourself up for failure when it's like, you know, I'll give you another example. My son wore makeup for a while and, you know, really, like, the nail polish and bleaching the hair and coloring the hair and the piercings and all the things, you know, and all the tattoos, which I now have. so it shows you how a person can grow and change. But, you know, he walked in one day in black nail polish and dyed his hair black and tons of eye makeup. And he's like looking at me and I'm like, I'm not impressed by this because we were doing this back in the 80s and 70s. So I pulled out a picture of my ex-boyfriend. And I said, you ain't doing nothing new, boo-boo. And he was like, God damn. So, you know, my kid's joke for me is the only way to piss off mom is to become a Republican and a Christian. And I'm like, don't even. Just don't even. Yeah. I mean, that's
probably true,
in this
though.
Family. It's true. It is true. Holy shit. When I found out that my guys were, like, dealing with Christian girls, but fortunately the girls wound up being super cool and, like, curious about witchcraft, I'm like, hell yeah. But the moms are like, "Oh, I'm worried about my daughter's soul." And I'm like, "Yeah, guess what?" I can appreciate it, but
yeah,
but that's an individual choice. And I'm so tired of the masses, whether it's Christianity or paganism, trying to tell everyone else that they're doing it wrong. Leave people
right.
the fuck alone to make up their own minds and see their own shit. Like when you mentioned earlier that people were like, "Well, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that?" Because this wasn't your motherfucking experience, bitch. You want to know about that stuff? You write a fucking book.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that,
right?
There are valid critiques of the book, but the one that I really have trouble with is when people say my journey didn't look like that. I'm like, okay. I don't hear that often, I will say. In fact, usually I hear the opposite, which is some people saying there are parts of my journey that really mirrored yours, and I can't believe it. And that's
yeah.
the best, because it makes me feel not alone, and I think it makes them feel not alone.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with my writing. It's just like a form of connection, which is a wonderful thing to have when you're a writer, especially if you're a nonfiction writer. But going back to something you said, something that did happen to me at the end of this book, I mean, I'll be kind of blunt about this. During the year, I had pretty, like, neutral feelings toward individual Christian people, bad feelings towards the Christian church in general. And then as my year went on, those negative feelings towards the Christian church grew very high. I mean, I just started to get mad, really mad. And those were some of the sections we cut, because my editor was like, "You sounded a little tough here." I'm like, "Are they in a press group? Who gives a shit? I'm punching up. I don't care."
Right.
But some of it is still there. But what's funny is at the end of the year, what actually ended up happening, after I had spent all this time meditating and praying and thinking about the interconnection of all beings and how kindness is the truest form of, you know, interconnection. And
you're
like,
so sweet.
You know, I really like Starhawk. I'm a big Starhawk fan, and I think she's like a modern prophet, honestly. I now have a sensitivity and an appreciation and a friendliness with my friends who are more spiritual and religious, most of whom are Christian. But I just like talking to them about God, and they sort of, I was just in New Orleans, and we went into the church there, and one of my friends was Catholic. Mm-hmm. And she went in, and she, you know, she's doing the holy water, and she's crossing herself, and none of us are Catholic, and she's sort of looking at us, like, kind of sheepishly, and I realized she was self-conscious. And then when we left the church, she lights up a cigarette, and I just looked at her, and I said, "Have I told you that I think it's really cool you're still Catholic?" And she said, "No, I feel kind of like a dork sometimes." I'm like, "There's nothing dorky about it. There's nothing dorky about it at all." I mean, we grew up on the West Coast, right, which I think this is a regional thing in the United States, but in the West Coast, it's the energy in the water is, if you're smart and you're educated, then you think religion is dumb and you look down on people who are spiritual. So I think if you grow up in that environment, if you're sort of this, you know, liberal left coast elite environment, and you have chosen to actually question your faith, to question your religion, question your spirituality, and then return to it, because you understand it is feeding a part of you that is incredibly difficult to articulate, but is a need that you're going to be judged for. People who do that, regardless of what religion they're doing it with or what spirituality they're doing it with, I think that's very admirable. I think that's really hardcore and punk and cool. And I said, I think it's cool. And then we have this whole conversation about how she had actually tried to be a Wiccan, but she couldn't get into it. And then she tried all this other stuff, but she just went back to Catholicism. And she said, I know the church is very fucked up in its history, but when I'm in there and I'm praying, I feel something. And I was just tired of pretending I didn't. And I said, "Dude, I wrote a book about that." It's the same thing.
Yep.
I feel kind of, I do feel this weird kinship with other people who have just decided that they no longer think spirituality is stupid, that they don't care if you can't prove it, that they know they might be judged by some people, and they're just going to do it anyway, regardless of what path. I think there is sort of a kinship there. I mean, I think I'd have trouble connecting with people who use their spirituality to justify a kind of hate agenda. which happens in both in paganism and in Christianity, of course. But broadly speaking, it made me feel just more connected to people who are spiritual. So I no longer hate Christians.
I've
come full circle on that one.
Yeah, because as I've gotten older, it's not that I hate Christians. It's certainly not that I hate Christianity. What I hate is the fucking bullshit that goes along with it, where you have to tell everyone else what they're doing wrong. And I think, you know, for actual practicing Christians who, and I'm not saying you can't talk about it, but there's a difference between talking about it and proselytizing. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, hugely. I mean, it's, which is sort of funny because I feel the urge to proselytize paganism constantly and I have to bite my tongue. If you get excited about something, you want to share it with people. I'm like, have you checked out the Wheel of the Year? It's so cool. You'll feel so connected to everybody. Oh my God, did you know that like the trees are alive and the atoms inside of you are the ones inside of them? Have you ever meditated on that fact? Your whole life is going to get so much better. Wait, no, you need to do this. But that's not how you win friends and influence people. I can't do that.
I know. You're so cute about it, though, and you're so funny, and you're so snarky. And I'm a total snark ass. I mean, completely. And I don't know if everyone got some of your aside jokes. Let me point something. Like the black, you know, whole thing. I'm like, oh, girl.
Wait,
I'm conflating it with something else. I know I am. But you were concerned that people were going to think you were racist. You remember
I was doing a spell and I had this cloud come down on me that was black and it scared me. It scared me a lot. And I was like, am I scared of black? Did that make me racist? That's not what does, I had that I wrote down.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was hilarious. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, she's so funny, because I would have the same kind of fucked up thought. And, you know, does that make me a bad person? Am I just noticing this because there's something wrong with me? I mean, this is the inner... You actually write the inner dialogue that so many of us have, because we at heart want to be good people and well thought of and don't want to offend anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. Unfortunately, that is so counter to the human experience.
Right.
We're all trying. But just like, I can hear you speaking it through your writing, and it's like, oh my God, are we related? Shit, because these are the fucking thoughts I have that just hit me out of nowhere, and then I question my entire fucking reality, like, am I a shitty person? No, we're just people. That's all it is. And, you know, you're very self-effacing, and you're very kind, and you're extremely generous in your dealings with other people. I am just an asshole, and I admit that I'm just an asshole. No, but it's true, because I still have all my asshole tendencies. I don't mean to be an asshole, but, like, if I haven't had coffee in the morning and you're going to bombard me with a bunch of fucking information that I am not prepared for, goddamn it, leave me the fuck alone until I've had some coffee. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Where you would probably be, like, I mean, and I can hear you in my head going, no, that's not how we approach people, Raina. We tell people, if you could give me a few minutes to get myself together, I'd certainly appreciate that. And I'm like, that's such a Diana thing to say. And I'm like, but I can't do that. This girl has all kinds of fucking magic that I'm just not, my hands are not on it, girl. They're just not.
I try. Well,
so
that's kind of you to say. I feel like if I had any friends listening to this podcast, they would start laughing like, she's not that nice. I'm blessed. I don't have children, and, you know, I'm self-employed, so I have a lot of control over my own schedule, which is a huge privilege. And I think people who don't always have that, who are sort of having something constantly tugging at the hem of their dress, their patience is thinner. And I try to have patience for that because I think that's fair, you know?
Yeah. It's true. I mean, you know, a lot of the things that I dealt with as a young pagan back in the day before we had internet and like 9,000 selections of what direction to go in, you know, we were limited. We were limited in books. We were limited in people. We were limited in resources. And, you know, I like your pioneer spirit of not having to, like, buy all the things. Now, you've done all the reading, which I'm kind of, like, jealous of because I've not done all the reading. Like, I got...
Well, I didn't do all of it. I mean... I read a lot, but there's a lot I didn't get to. There's a lot I didn't get to.
No, but you got. Yeah. But you did get to a lot. I mean, you know, you got through a lot of Cunningham, and you got through a lot of Farhawk, and you got through. I'm sure Margot Adler is in there, and I'm sure Dee Budapest is there. I mean, because you've mentioned her, you've mentioned Thorne, you've mentioned. I mean, you try to include as much as possible. And the interesting thing about a pagan at my age or a witch at my age is the books that we had access to assumed that we knew a lot going in, which we fucking didn't, you know, which is why I believe we have so many starter books now, because people were tired of, you know, the assumption that we had all of this magical knowledge, but we fucking didn't. We really fucking didn't. We were doing the best we could with what knowledge, you know, an elder had, we hoped, you know. And there were problems that folks, I mean, I was really lucky. I didn't run into any of the sexual abuse or anybody really being shitty to anything. I was super privileged, and I was really well insulated by my group. I mean, we're like very protective. And I wish there was more of that going on instead of just everybody standing on a fucking soapbox. You're doing it wrong. You're supposed to turn this way. That's not how you do this. That's not how you light this. That's not how you draw a circle. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, So the idea that more information is now out there and people are freer. I mean, can I just tell you, half the time, when I cast, I don't fucking draw a circle. I just walk up to the altar and I light some incense and I call in my deities and I thank them for, like, not letting me totally fall off the face of the earth. That's it. It's not that big. I mean, I think people want it to be so much bigger than it actually is. Do you find, like, with all the infighting and shit that it's like, it's really about folks just wanting to be fucking special as opposed to, like, real information?
Yeah. I think there is a lot of that. And precisely because it is such a personal practice, everything is up for debate, so people are constantly debating it. That is exhausting. I mean, there were several times during the year where I was like, I would kill just for, like, a fucking Bible right now, which people still debate, of course. But it's not like, at least we can sort of agree we're dealing with the same material. We can't even agree about that in witchcraft. There are plenty of people who don't like Scott Cunningham at all, who have wholesale because of some problematic stuff in his older books, which I do believe, I'm of the school of thought that if we had been blessed to have him on Earth for longer than we did, he would have gone back and edited a lot the same way Starhawk did. But unfortunately, he died extremely young, so we never, you know, got to see him grow and change. But when I was reading Cunningham, I was expecting it to be very dowdy, and instead I was, for the most part, I still think he's a genius, and people make fun of me for that, but, you know, it's when everything is up for debate, I think it's really hard to feel like you are in a community and you have consensus, and people don't want to be patient with opinions that they think are outdated. We're hard on each other. There was a beautiful quote I heard. I don't think it's from her. I think she's quoting someone else, and I can't remember who, but I just read Doppelganger by Naomi Klein, which is an incredible book. And actually, she ends it on this huge note of inner, just talking about the importance of interconnection. And I was like, does Naomi Klein know she's a witch? Because she is. I don't know if she knows, but it was incredible. And the point is, there's a quote in the book where she encourages folks to be soft on people, tough on structures. And I think that's something that's been echoing in my head, especially as we continue to enter kind of a historical moment of continued infighting and cold civil war, and we can't be like the enemy, and, you know, just continuing political and philosophical divisions in this country. What if we were soft on each other and understood that we, at base level, pretty much wanted the same things, but we're tough on structures, you know? And that's something I've carried with me, and I think it has helped me to become a kinder person. And I wish it was something we would sort of do in the neo-pagan and the witchcraft community. But I'm not even sure what the structures are, actually. So maybe that's why we're so hard on each other, because there almost are no structures, and everything is so personal, so personal. Someone has this amazing connection with the goddess doing a ritual designed by Scott Cunningham, and then they go onto a forum, and the forum says Scott Cunningham is this horrible cultural appropriator and everything he does is shit. And then you go, well, I had an incredible spirit experience that was led by him. Are you telling me my experience was shit? How do you not take that personally? I would have trouble not taking that personally. So it's a lot of mental gymnastics and kindness to be a witch today online. It's hard. It's hard. Absolutely.
And I give you so much credit for being so honest about it. You didn't gild the lily. I mean, there are moments of and there are moments of, oh, fuck. I mean, and that's real, and that's life. And, I understand, listen, I'm one of the first people to say, yep, witchcraft, all of the practices need to change and grow and adapt, because the people we were 40 years ago are not the people we are now. We have more information. We have more people to connect with. We have better resources and all the things. But the fact of the matter is that if you try to cancel everyone that said something stupid in the 70s and 80s, we would have none of us. Because we would have all been canceled, frankly. Because we weren't wise enough to know. And you know, I'm so grateful that we can grow now, and that we have knowledge, and that we can teach each other. Even through innocent mistakes, I've seen people just get so fucking brutal. It's just unbelievable. I'm like, how anyone can publicly practice these days. I don't know if I'd have survived it, to be honest with you. I'm lucky I'm old. I'm happy to be older now. Because everything is judged now so quickly and so harshly that even if you're misinterpreted, climbing back from being misinterpreted is a nightmare, as I've seen some people. And I'm like, this is just... So that's, you know, I have a really strong rule in my world where I don't read any of my good press and I don't read any of my bad press, because if I believe one, I have to believe the other. Yeah, no, because if you believe one, you have to believe both. So I just figure, you know what? Everything is an opinion, and I'm entitled to an opinion. I am entitled to think whatever the thoughts are in my fucked up little world, in my fucked up little head, as everyone else is. But when you want to cause harm is when we need to call you out. But people have said things accidentally, not realizing that they were being insulting. And I mean, while I think as a society, we should always call that out, to totally destroy someone's life over it is a bit extreme. And I see it a lot, which is why I don't engage that much online. You know, I'm very lucky because nice folks like you who are talented come on and talk to me about shit. and, you know, teach me things and make me feel better about things, which I'm very appreciative of, rather. You definitely make me feel like, okay, I'm not a complete, utterly human existence. And I think a lot of other people will feel that way if they read the book. And I really love this book. And I love you because you're just you and you're not trying to be anything but you. And I think it's super brave. So
you'd be
put
surprised
yourself
how
out
that
there. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
That's hard. It is hard to expose yourself emotionally to what other people might say. Because, I mean, you're a sensitive person. I'm a super sensitive person, sometimes overly so. You're like me. You overthink shit. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is how we come to conclusions and make decisions. Doesn't make those decisions perfect, but we're trying to be good people. And I think when people are trying to do the right thing, you really shouldn't be jumping all over their shit. That's why when you're like, when people give you shit about certain things, it's like fucking annoying because it's your experience. And I think your experience is very valid. And it was, I found the book very comforting. You know, I had a crack up at your telling your mother that you wanted to do this. And I mean, I've had similar conversations where it's like, I have other members of my family who were practicing and, but didn't consider it the same thing as witchcraft. I mean, I said that terrible word. You know what I mean? It's kind of hilarious. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It was. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to ask you, were there any things in particular that were really aha moments for you trying to become a witch where it was like something sudden or something suddenly just clicked into you?
There was two. The first one was, and I guess mild book spoiler, but I'm spending the first few months, we start in July randomly. There's no particular reason. I start my year in a day in July. And I'm reading Starhawk and I'm reading Cunningham and I'm reading Margot Adler and I'm reading some Thorne Mooney and I'm reading some Juliet Diaz, and I'm really trying to, like, I don't know. I just can't figure it out. It all just feels like make-believe. It all just feels like I'm playing a game of fantasy with myself. And, in fact, I'm playing a game of fantasy with myself that I'm nervous to really get into because I think I am worried about becoming delusional, which is to say departing from the shared plane of reality that I, you know, cohabitate with my friends and family. I don't want to go insane, basically. Because if all this stuff started to become truly real, I think I would be afraid I would be going insane. But then the alternative is I just feel like I'm playing make-believe. So I'm struggling with those two dueling banjos, and I'm getting really annoyed, and I'm trying to meditate, and I'm trying to feel the energy of plants, and it doesn't work. And, you know, I walk up to this plant in my yard, and I keep trying to, like, feel its energy the way that Thea Sabin describes in her book, Wicca for Beginners, and it's just not working. And I'm like, this whole thing is just, I don't say this out loud, but privately I am thinking, this whole thing is really stupid. I can't believe I asked to do this for a year. And then I'm going for a walk one night after doing a lot of meditations about the four elements that are in Starhawk's book, the Spiral Dance. And it's around the winter solstice, it's a couple days before, and it's twilight, and I'm out on this marsh, and it's windy, and it's dark, and the sky is huge, and the water just kind of stretches out for miles, and it's a very surreal sort of landscape, and I'm just walking because I just wanted to take a walk after work. I'm not really thinking about anything in particular, but I'm walking, and I'm walking, and I'm walking, and I think, you know, how did it start? A chain reaction of thoughts start to happen. And I think it starts with, I see lights on pylons in the distance, those big electrical towers, and I see them flashing. And I think about how the electricity in the lights are the same as the electricity in the office complex I can see in the distance. And that's the same electricity, that's the same force that is inside of me, making my heart pump. And it sounds very basic. You know, it's very physics for kindergartners. But then I also start thinking about how the earth inside of me is the same as the earth beneath me, and how the air I'm breathing is the same as the air that the geese are breathing, and is the same as the air that the carjackers downtown are breathing. And it was really difficult to articulate this. And this was something that as a writer, I really struggled with. And I thought, I really want to nail this. Mm-hmm. This is my art. This is the job I chose. And I try to do it in the book. And I spent a long time trying to do it right in the book. That was a section I edited to death because I was like, I really want to try and articulate this because I'm trying to articulate a spiritual epiphany. And it's incredibly difficult to do that, turns out.
I know.
But then I'm having these cascades of thought. But the thing is, it's not, they start to stop becoming thoughts and I start to feel them. I start to actually feel them. It's not cerebral anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like my hormones are involved and my body starts reacting. And I just suddenly feel how connected I am to everything and how connected everything is to each other. And then I actually just start breaking down crying in the middle of this trail.
Right.
I'm staring at my hand and I'm like, oh my God, I'm mud. Well, like I just start losing my mind. I start crying and everything feels like a miracle. And I'm like, is this what a good acid trip feels like? And
yeah,
I don't know. Something woke up inside of me. And I was completely sober and
acid.
Something
done acid. And that is exactly what it is. I'm going to tell you right now, having done more than one acid trip, that is the feeling that you are looking for. This is why people take drugs in the first place. They want to connect to something. But it's true. And the fact that you were able to get there without drugs or substance is amazing.
That felt like its own little miracle. It really is. And again, it's all like stuff you learn in physics 101, but it was like I had never felt the impact of that. And it was ecstatic, to use a Starhawk word, actually ecstatic. And I also had this thought in the middle of this emotion where I was like, this is it. Oh, that's it. That's it. So if I'm a witch and if I'm a shaman and this is, and if I'm a neo-pagan, this is what I'm worshiping. And or my version anyway, there's lots of different kinds of neo-pagans, of course. When you're this is the flow that you are tapping into and trying to manipulate. That's it. Right there. That is what witchcraft is to use willpower to manipulate that flow. And it was scary because it seemed really big, but also I was like, oh, well, now that I know it exists, it seems possible. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in. You know, I'm in. I'm buying in. Okay. Okay. Step one, she broke through the door. She got in, you know.
Yeah.
That was a pretty cool moment.
There.
That was, yeah.
Yeah, and getting there is amazing, right? I mean, that's the whole point. And the fact that people have to label it to death, I think, is what destroys it. And this whole idea of, I mean, I was going to ask you your opinion on this, and it was because of what you said when the show started about being reluctant to use the word witch. Is the word witch even fucking necessary at this point?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wait, sorry. I think you cut off there a little bit. Are you still there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I'm here.
Okay.
I was asking you if you thought the word witch was even necessary anymore because it just seems to mess with people and divide them and, you know, you can call yourself this and you can't and, you know, you're not a real this or a real that. I mean,
right. Well, it is. I sort of feel like the word witch is almost useless because of its variability. At the same time, I think it's a really powerful moniker, and it symbolizes empowerment and rebellion, especially if you're a woman or another marginalized gender. But I had, you know, the other day I was at a family party, and a friend of my sister comes up to me and he's like, "Heard you wrote a book about witchcraft. That's so cool." And my girlfriend's a witch. And I was like, "Oh, that's really nice." And then the girlfriend comes over and he goes, "Yeah, she's a witch too." And then me and the girlfriend, we look at each other politely and we sort of smile and we're like, "Hi." And we're both giving each other this look like he has no idea that we could be completely like doing not at all even remotely the same thing, does he? He thinks he's like forming a connection right now. We could be polar opposites. And I could see it in her eyes. Like we were being nice, but it was like, we were both like, we have nothing in common until proven. Being a witch doesn't mean shit. It doesn't mean like we could be doing stuff that's totally opposite from each other, you know?
Oh my God. I have said that so many times.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it would be different if I knew she was a Gardnerian Wiccan, or maybe if we were both like, you know, Nordic heathens or something. But just witch, it's too big. It's just too big. And the number one thing I learned is never tell another witch about herself. So if someone wants to call themselves a witch, great. You know, that's great. The reason I don't is because I have this paranoia about being misunderstood that probably I should let go of and understand that other people's opinion about me is their business, not mine. It's really hard for me to do that. And also, I'm not sure I am, because I don't do a ton of spell work anymore. I actually don't. I do a lot of celebration and veneration, but I don't I maybe do 2 or 3 spells a year. I don't know. I don't know if that's enough to make me a witch. I feel like witches are constantly using their willpower to affect change, and I don't do that as much as I used to while I was writing the book, because spells are exciting. You know, I wanted to do spells for the book to be like, oh, are they going to come true? And sometimes they did, and sometimes they didn't. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, to tell you quite honestly, the only reason I do as many spells as I do is because they're requested. And when they're requested, especially by people I'm close with, I you know, I would want them to do it for me if I needed it. So I do it. Because reciprocity is how we operate as humans. But spells or no spells or putting your will out there. I mean, girlfriend, every time I try to find a parking spot, I'm trying to influence some shit. So, I mean, to be quite honest with you, that's not a definition. So, I mean, your own life makes you a magical being, in my opinion. So once again, there's another diverse opinion on what a witch is. And
yeah.
When you're tired of other people's opinions, which you're not yet, but you will be, I promise, because I used to be
like you
and worried. No. I used to care about other people's opinions. Now I just don't give a royal fuck. And I think that's why certain people do listen to this show, because they know I don't give a fuck and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And sometimes, you know, things happen in the world, and not everything's a fucking spell, and sometimes shit is just shit.
Seriously. Yeah.
You know?
I had an astrologer.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think there's a little delay. Sorry, I don't mean to be cutting you off. I talked to an astrologer about this in the book, and I'm very skeptical of astrology in the book, because I think astrology is often just used to stereotype people kind of negatively. That's the way I see it used more often. But I was chatting with this astrologer, and she's like, "Do you have any idea how many people come to me and they're like, this guy's an asshole because he's a Pisces?" And she's like, "Maybe he's an asshole because he's an asshole. Maybe that crow is just a crow. Maybe not everything is a fucking..." You'd go mad. You know?
Right.
And I think trying to figure out when something is a sign versus when the universe is trying to tell you something is something I still definitely have trouble with. Supposedly some witches are like, oh, I know, I always know every time. And I'm just like, oh, must be fucking nice. Okay, what is that like?
No shit.
That level of confidence.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm like,
That is not yet available to me.
Seriously, I also need sometimes the brick of reality to hit me in the head a few times because, I got shit going on. I'm dense. I've got a fucking day job. I've got a fucking family. You know, I got spousal shit I got to do. I got work shit I got to do. I got to pay bills. I got to do all the fucking things. So, you know, yeah, when I'm supposed to be getting a message, I need a few forms of confirmation. Just because I may not get the first couple of them. I mean, if you give me enough breadcrumbs to get home, I'll eventually get home. But, you know, everything's not a bolt out of the fucking blue. Sometimes you need a little convincing. Or, you know,
yeah.
Again, sometimes shit is just shit. So... before we go, I love talking to you, by the way, and I hope you're going
to
come back on because
I'd love to. It's been a joy.
Oh, my God.
So
I love it. Seriously, I mean, was there anything that you, I mean, and I'm no writer, and I have major respect for writers because I don't know how y'all fucking do it because I'm all over the place. But was there anything that you wished you had put in the book that you didn't put in the book? And, wait, two-parter, is there a follow-up perhaps coming?
You know, this is fun. They're just starting to put out the paperback, and because right now it's just out in hardcover, and I told my editor, I said, is this a time when I can add a little bit? Because I have some questions from people that I get repeatedly, and I'd like to sort of add a note that I've seen other authors do, and she said, yes, this would be that time. You can add it to the, you know, the new edition we're doing. But she said, I wouldn't recommend it. I don't like it when authors do that. My personal opinion is that a memoir is a moment in time, and you shouldn't add to it. Just leave it be. So I'm still debating that. You know, maybe in like 10 years I would do another one. Maybe it's just too soon. It's been like 5 months. I wish that I had done more in the book, and this is sort of splitting hairs, but I really think this matters. I wish I would have explored not history, but the tension between historical accuracy and legitimacy. And I do that a little bit, but witchcraft is this hodgepodge of ancient practices that we have found, that we've been able to find. We're working with scraps, right? And if it seems disorganized to outsiders, that's because it is. And right. we're all just working with what we can find. And I touch on this in the book, this idea of what makes something legitimate outside of perfect history. But I wish I had explored it basically earlier and deeper. I mean, I'm proud of the fact that we, for example, touched on the intersection of an earth-based spirituality being practiced by the descendants of European colonists in the United States.
Right.
But although according to some people, I talked about that too much, even though I don't think I talked about it enough, but I wish I had gone deeper into that, like what it means to be a European American trying to practice an earth-based religion on soil that my ancestors cleansed for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, we touch on it, we acknowledge it, but I wanted to go a lot deeper on that, and I wish I had, and that is something maybe, I mean, that could be a whole other book that I would love to write.
Yeah.
But also just, just what makes something legitimate when you don't have history and you don't have consensus? Like, we don't have either. So what makes it – no wonder everybody makes fun of us, you know? I wish I had interviewed other witches, like what makes you feel like your practice is legitimate? And some would say history, and they're like, I just choose to believe what I believe, and others – I think there'd be a variety of interesting answers there, but maybe those are for future books. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I mean, the idea of legitimacy is so funny to me because it's like, well, you know, if you're Gardnerian Wiccan, then you are basically practicing a very new form of witchcraft. And I'm like, listen, as long as there has been spirit and people have passed over, there has been some need or time to connect with folks that are no longer on this plane. So for me, that is also a form of witchcraft. So you can argue multiple sides that it's brand fucking new, that it's fucking ancient, whatever. I mean, again, as long as spirits have existed, which I'm assuming have existed as long as people have, which makes it old, just the difference is the style. You know, and that's really the only thing. I just, you know, my belief is that we all just want to be good and special and all get along all at the same time. And it's really
right.
Fucking simple. And as humans, we so overcomplicate every fucking thing. Exhausting.
Yeah.
But Sianna, I thank you so much for coming on. You have been such a delight, and I hope you will come back on and hang out with me again sometime.
I hope to come back, too. You're a delight to chat with. This has been a joy. Thank you for having me. Seriously, it's fun to chat with you about this stuff.
Well, I appreciate it, and I will be in touch with your person for an additional date. So I'm pretty excited. Thank you again. This book, I got to tell you, folks, it's not about criticizing. It is about one person's journey, and it's so fucking relatable. At least it was to me. And I think it would be to most of my friends. So I'm going to encourage everybody, get The Witching Year. It's really a great book, and it will make you feel better.
Thank you. And if you do get it,
yes.
I was just going to say, if anyone does get it, I am not, like, overwhelmed by fan mail or anything. I love hearing what witches who have actually been practicing for a long time think of this book. Even if you didn't totally love it, I would just love to hear what you think. Those are my favorite emails. So please let me know what you think of it, The Witching Year. Yeah.
Tell folks how to get in touch with you.
I am on Instagram and TikTok, and I am on Twitter. Or X, whatever Elon Musk's ego has decided it's called today. And usually my handle is definitely not lost, but my name is Diana Helmuth. You know, Diana Helmuth, definitely not lost, and the name of the book is The Witching Year. Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much again, and I will speak with you soon.
Thank you so much, Raina. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.